rising to the heavens, rising to your heart, your heart. Our praises filling up the spaces in between our frailty and everything you are. You are the keeper of my heart. And I am restless, I'm restless, till I rest in you, till I rest in you. I am restless, I'm restless, till I rest in you, till I rest in you, oh God. Speak now, for my soul is listening. Say that you have saved me. Whisper in the dark, 'cause I know you're more than my salvation. Without you, I am hopeless. Tell me who you are.
Does that song resonate with anybody? Me too. We have felt that, haven't we? And God is so faithful, isn't he, when we're restless. Beth, don't you worry about losing that. You come by that honestly. Your mama and your daddy are both crybabies, so, you know, that's the way that kind of happens. Thank you for sharing that word with us, and boy, what a timely one for us, isn't it? I'm going to ask you to join me in a word of prayer one more time this morning before we open God's word together, and let's ask him to still our restless heart before him this morning so that we can hear him, and let's let him speak to us. So pray with me if you would. Father, I thank you for a quiet place for us to gather this morning. God, to sit before you God, to be reminded in these great old hymns and songs that you are able to deliver us. God, that you've included us. God, not excluded us, but included us. Thank you, Father, that you are on your throne this morning. And God, whatever restlessness we feel, whatever turmoil we feel, God, you are more than able to raise us up. And we thank you for that this morning. Thank you for just a quiet place to sit before you this morning and hear you, Father. And I pray that, Father, we would not miss you. Even now, Lord, would you just begin to move among us. Move in our midst. Calm us. God, the distractions that are there, Father, just help us to get past them this morning. The things that would keep us from hearing you. God, the voices that compete for your voice, quiet them in us this morning. And Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to move on us in this place. Have your way this morning in my heart, in my life, in the hearts and the lives of each person that's here today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be free to work and move. God, take your word this morning, Father. And God, would you just speak it? Speak it into our hearts, into our lives. Apply it, God, deeply in us that we might not miss it. And in this place this morning, be magnified, exalted, lifted up. Draw us to you. Speak to us this morning. May we not miss that. And I pray, Lord, that when we get ready to leave this place in a little bit and God, head back into our lives, Father, whatever that looks like for us, God, may we, God, leave this place, God, different than we came in. Because we've encountered you through your word. God, may we leave here worshiping and praising and exalting your name as the good God that you are. May we leave refreshed, stirred, changed, saved, comforted, blessed by your presence. And Father, we'll be careful to give you and you alone all the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do. Thank you for each person that's here this morning, God. God, that's not an accident, those who you've assembled in this place. God, you want to do a work in us, so have your way. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. So glad that you are here this morning, and I don't know about you, but when Bethany told me she was singing that song, I thought that's perfect for what God has laid on my heart. I'm beginning a series of messages this morning that we're going to simply be calling Wrestle. I don't know about you, but I feel like there's been a lot of wrestling going on inside of me, just to be honest with you. I think it's hard for us to kind of miss that, kind of navigating the times that we're in right now. It's almost impossible that there aren't things that we're wrestling with personally within ourselves. And so this is a series of messages that God has laid on my heart. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in Scripture, but there's a lot of places in Scripture when wrestling is talked about, and you go, oh boy, right? Scripture talks. It actually is. It's kind of interesting to me, the analogies and the truths that kind of come through Scripture into everyday ways that they apply to us. But there's a lot of references to contending or wrestling or fighting in the faith. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at several of these and kind of launch into this. But I've simply titled this series of messages, Wrestling. And this morning we're going to talk about specifically wrestling with God. And you go, well, is it okay for me to wrestle with God? Is it possible to wrestle with God? I can just tell you this, that if you wrestle with God, you're probably not going to win, right? But I want to think about that this morning. I want to dig into this. This is just a place to start today. If you have your Bibles there, I want you to be finding Genesis, the 32nd chapter, Genesis chapter 32. And we're going to be at a very familiar story there, one that I've actually brought to you before and preached from before. But I want to come back to it this morning as we just think a little bit about the subject of wrestling. I think it's a good place for us to begin because in chapter 32 of Genesis, we have an actual wrestling match between one of the patriarchs, Jacob, and God. And we get a great picture here of kind of sets the tone for this series of messages. Now, you may be thinking this morning, now that's a peculiar kind of topic. It's an interesting thing to kind of lean into as you're talking about wrestling. But let me kind of give you a little bit of a background of why I think God has kind of been laying this series of messages on my heart. I look around today, and the truth of the matter is that today there's a lot of wrestling that goes on. I read a statement from a Roman emperor by the name of Marcus Aurelius, who said this: "The art of living is more like wrestling than dancing." Now think about that. We often call it the dance of life, right? And dancing is a beautiful thing, right? When we see that kind of taking place, we think life is just beautiful dance. But the truth of the matter is, if we're to get honest about life, it's more like a wrestling match most of the time, isn't it, than it is like a dance. If you think about it, that's what it's like. And you may kind of think, well, what exactly is it that you're talking about when you talk about wrestling? Well, I think in our personal lives, we wrestle with things all the time, don't we? We wrestle within ourselves about important decisions that we have to make. And sometimes wrestling with those things will even keep us up at night, right? We'll wrestle the bed sheets, right? Because we're trying to make a decision or we have something weighing in on us, and we'll wrestle with those things. And I was thinking about this kind of even in regard to our present day. I mean, there's a wrestling match going on in our world today, if you think about it. I mean, there is a political wrestling match going on right now, right? Like never before, and it pulls us in and it pulls us under, and we can kind of feel that taking place. I keep hearing many people saying things like this, that this may be the most important election in the history of our nation this time. And there's this wrestling match that's going on with, and we kind of feel that, don't we? We really do. And then there's this pandemic we've been wrestling with. Have you wrestled with that some? Absolutely you have. We hear this one say this and this one hear that, and we don't know what's right and what's wrong, and we wrestle with that within ourselves. Where should I go? What should I do? How should I dress? How should I prepare myself? Is it okay for me to do that? Is it not okay? You see the wrestling match that goes on all the time with that. And then in our culture today, I mean, it's not hard to see the wrestling match that's going on. It's being played out in our streets, right? We see that. So we kind of get that. We hear that idea that life is more like a wrestling match than it is like a dance. And you think about that a little bit. You go, well, what am I to do with all of that? How do I navigate that in my life? And so to me, it's no wonder that the Bible often talks about wrestling, about how life is like this wrestling that's constantly going on with us. And I love the song that Bethany fit in this morning because it kind of fits right in it. I mean, she wasn't singing about wrestling, but she was singing about being restless, right? And you get that, and we don't find rest in this wrestling a match, right, until we find Him. That's the truth. And we look today at the turmoil going on in our culture, and we go, what is the answer to that? The one who reigns, right? He's the answer. And we get that kind of when we begin to think about it. So I want to kind of dig into that over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about, now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the scripture talks about wrestling in lots of ways. We're going to look at kind of an introduction this morning in the book of Genesis. But scripture talks about wrestling with God. It talks about wrestling with the enemy. That's where we're going to be next week. It talks about how you and I as believers ought to wrestle in prayer. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but we ought to literally be wrestling in prayer. And I just got to tell you that right now for us as a church and as Christians, we ought to be wrestling in prayer. We ought to wrestle with His Word, right? We ought to get in there. We ought to struggle. We ought to dig into His Word. We ought to wrestle in His Word. I mean, think about that. There's just all these references in Scripture to how we ought to be wrestling. We ought to learn the art of wrestling. What's that talking about? There's a sociologist by the name of Maury Schwartz, who's the subject of a great little book written by Mitch Albom that's called Maury. I don't know how many of you have ever read that great little book called Maury. Get it sometime and read it. It's a fascinating little book. But here's what Maury Schwartz says. He says this: life is like a wrestling match. We struggle to fight, but we never know that the only side that wins is the one with great love in it. I love that statement. And when I read that statement, I thought, you know, that's the direction I want to go with this series of messages. I want us to understand that we're in a wrestling match, really. It's more like a wrestling match than a dance. And the only side that really wins is the one with great love in it. And can I just tell you, we know who that's pointing to, don't we? We know how the wrestling match ends. And in this story, you're going to see it this morning. I love that idea. So if you're there in Genesis chapter 32, I want you to look with me at this familiar, unusual passage of Scripture. I know my son made fun of me last week because I'm always saying I love this passage, or this is my most favorite passage. Or this story really is one of my favorites. And I think the reason that it resonates with me so much is because I think of myself something as a person who struggles a lot like this. I find myself wrestling a lot like this. I even find God meeting me in those struggles, in those wrestlings, and I think we need that. So I want you to see this story. Maybe it'll be familiar to you. We're in Genesis chapter 32, and I'm not going to take the time to read the entire passage, but I want to kind of pick it up in verse 22 and read on down to verse 30. Here's the picture of what's happening. Jacob is fleeing, running from his uncle Laban, who is pursuing him from behind, kind of essentially accusing him of having stolen from him. His brother Esau, who he had cheated, and we'll talk about that more here in just a little bit, is in front of him, and Jacob is at a crossroads in his life when this takes place. So here we are, Genesis 32, beginning in verse 22. Here's this wrestling match between Jacob and God. Here it is. And he, Jacob, arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man, and notice that's capitalized, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was set out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Now, what a peculiar story, right? I mean, we're not really told exactly who this wrestling match that Jacob is in is with until we get down to the very end of the story. It's just this man came and wrestled with him. And as he saw that Jacob wasn't going to give up easily, what did he do? He broke his hip, essentially. And at the end of the story, it's identified that it's God that's actually wrestling with Jacob. Now, that's interesting to me. That's peculiar. It kind of opens up this whole kind of concept, this thought of wrestling with God. What's that about? Is it even right to talk about really wrestling with God? Can I just tell you, I don't know if you've done this before, but most of us at one point in our life or the other, and some of us very regularly, wrestle with God about all kinds of things, right? God puts his finger on your life and begins to point out some things maybe that are a little bit uncomfortable, that step on your toes, that push you past your comfort zone. And what do we begin to do? We begin to rationalize with God. Really? Rationalize with God? But that's what we do, right? We wrestle with him. So really and truly, if you think about this passage of Scripture, and I don't want to spiritualize it this morning or allegorize the story, I believe this literally happened. But I believe it applies to us. I think we're not unlike Jacob. And that there are many times in our lives that we come to these points in our life when God is trying to get our attention, when he's trying to speak into our life, and what do? But wrestle with him. What's the answer for those times in our life when we wrestle, when we struggle, when we are, as Bethany sang it, restless? How do we begin to make sense of all of that? Jacob, I believe, is one of the most interesting and controversial figures, personalities in the Old Testament. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but if you go back and you read the book of Genesis, did you know that Jacob and his story, his life, occupies one half of the book of Genesis? So there's a lot of time given to Jacob. It's interesting how much time he takes up. He takes up one half of the book of Genesis, so his story must be important. You'll also notice that in the very story that we read just a minute ago, it's Jacob whose name becomes the name of God's chosen people, Israel. Did you notice that? So Jacob is a central figure. He's very important in the story as you began to look at this and kind of think about it. Jacob, you may remember this, was the grandson of Abraham, right? He's the son of Isaac, and he has a twin brother named what? Esau. There you go. Good Bible trivia question, right? He has a twin brother named Esau. He is considered one of the patriarchs of the Jewish people together with Abraham and Isaac. As a matter of fact, once again, his name changed. Israel would become the name of God's chosen people. Now, the name Jacob is an interesting name. Is anybody here named Jacob that I don't know about? Okay, good, because the name Jacob means cheater, trickster, deceiver, okay? So if you're thinking about naming your children Jacob, well, think of another good reason to name it. Say, well, I'm not naming him for what the name means. I'm naming him because Jacob was a patriarch, right? Something like that. Jacob's a good name, right? But the name Jacob means trickster, cheater, supplanter. And it tells us something about this particular Bible character's life. Up to this point in Jacob's life, that had pretty much characterized Jacob. If you study this large story in the book of Genesis about Jacob, up to this point in his life had pretty much been characterized by cheating, lying, tricking other people, deceiving other people. You may remember that Jacob is the one who cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright. Remember that? And he did it all for meat, human appetite, right? That's interesting. Not only that, but he also cheated his brother's blessing from his father. He deceived his own father and told him that he wasn't Jacob, but that he was Esau. That's interesting. Then he fled because of that, because he'd stolen his brother's birthright and he'd lied to his father. He fled from him to live with his uncle Laban, and he began to raise up. Well, his uncle Laban began to trick and cheat Jacob, and Jacob ended up not with one wife, but two wives, right? Sisters. And then Jacob, in turn, had to trick and cheat Laban in order for him to grow his household and his flock. And now when we get to this passage of Scripture, he is having to flee for his life because his whole life has been ruled by cheating, deceiving, tricking other people. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it really is true what they say sometimes about you can sow to the wind and you will reap a whirlwind. And now here is Jacob, no place to go. Can't go home because my brother has sworn that the next time he sees me, he'll kill me. Can't go back to where my wives are from because I've cheated their father and he pursues me and I'm in a fix. And Jacob found himself at that place in his life. Chapters 31 and 32 of Genesis, Jacob kind of finds in place at what's called the crossroads. This passage that we're looking at this morning in verses 22 through 32, some say represents the most monumental moment of Jacob's life. It's a turning point. And just mark this down somewhere, if you would. Just if you're taking notes, just mark this down. When you wrestle with God, it will change your life. When you wrestle with God, when you honestly begin to wrestle with God, it will be a monumental, life-changing moment. If you'll honestly, with integrity, finally begin to stop running and just get honest with God. Just begin to wrestle with him. And so Jacob finds himself at this particular crossroad. This one night seems to stand out as the most significant event in the life of Jacob. And it's the night he wrestled with God. And I just want to talk about it this morning. I don't want to allegorize in any way or over-spiritualize this passage of Scripture. But as I thought about this and I just began to kind of work on this message, this series of messages that God was laying on my heart, I came back to this passage of Scripture and I thought, you know, I'm not unlike Jacob. When God found me, I was running from him. That's your story too if you're a Christian, by the way. You were running from him. Your life was filled with deceit and sin, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? But here is my God. He pursued me. He pursues you. He finds us. And when he finds us, the wrestling match begins. What does that wrestling match look like? And I don't want to just kind of frame this in the terms of salvation, although I think that is significant here. I want to frame this in the terms of all of the times that we wrestle. You may be wrestling with some things this morning as a believer. You may be wrestling with some important decisions that you need to make, some choices that need. There may be some things in your life that you've been wrestling with for a long time, some things that God has pointed out in your life that you're not willing to let go of, and you're wrestling about it. Maybe there are those dark, hidden sins that are deep inside, and you've struggled and you've wrestled with that. You've tried to get free of it, and this morning, listen, you're wrestling inside with that before God. Listen, I believe you can find victory. I believe that wrestling with God has a point, that it can be life-changing. So let me give these things to you. Just jot these things down. This is called wrestling with God, and we're taking this right from Genesis 32, verses 22 through 30. I think it applies to us this morning, and let me just kind of say this. Jot these few things down, but I'm just going to give you about three quick little points this morning about wrestling with God. First of all, here it is. Number one, wrestling with God is personal. It's personal. You see, the things that I wrestle with probably are not the same things that you wrestle with. The things that God has put his finger on in my heart and my life are going to look quite different than the things that God has put his finger on in your heart and your life. Wrestling with God is personal. I mean, it's a personal wrestling match especially designed for you. And this morning, I want you to realize that that wrestling match can be taking place right here in this building this morning, in that pew, in that seat. It could be taking place on someone's home this morning, on a couch, in a chair, in their comfy clothes, right? God can begin to stir in us, in our heart, in our life, but that wrestling match is personal. Remember, Jacob has reached this crossroads in his life. He's pursued from behind by Laban, his uncle who he had cheated. In front of him is his brother Esau, who he had cheated. And now he's afraid of what's ahead of him. In verses 22 and 23, we discover that for their protection, Jacob has separated himself from everything he holds dear. His two wives, all of his possessions, he's put them on the other side of the river so that they're safely out of sight. And look at verse 24. This is interesting. Here it is. So Jacob was left where? Alone. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When all the other distractions are gone, when everything else is put out of the way, and Jacob just has a moment to sit down and reflect and think, what happens within him? Wrestling begins. It's personal, you see. In the darkness of the night, in the loneliness of that solitude, Jacob found himself wrestling with God, literally. It's a personal encounter with God, and I like that. Jacob had, in a sense, wrestled with virtually everyone in his life up to this point. Think about that. He had wrestled with his brother Esau and cheated him. He'd wrestled with his father over a blessing. He'd wrestled with his uncle Laban. It seems to be worth mentioning that despite the many experiences that Jacob had had with God, there's an element of resistance in Jacob's life up to this point where he had wrestled with God constantly and walked away. That's interesting to me. There are a couple of things that stick out to me here that God just kind of prompted me about as I was studying this passage again and kind of looking at it afresh. And I just want to point these things out to you. I want you to stay with me on this because I'm going to give both of them to you. And then I want to just unpack them for a second. But I want you to think about this. It's something maybe I'd never thought about before or really noticed about this. But these are just two things to note about this personal wrestling match that Jacob encountered with God here. First of all, I think it's significant that this man, who we later find out is God himself, that he wrestled with Jacob, not the other way around. Think about it. Who initiated this wrestling match here? Jacob's alone, and what does it say? And a man wrestled with him. So who initiated it? The man. That's significant. I've never really paid attention to that before, but God spoke to me through that one. So we'll come back to that here in a second. Here's the second thing that I noticed, and this is kind of interesting to me too. I think it's significant in this passage that at this crossroads in Jacob's life, he had to wrestle alone. He had to go it alone. No one could fight this battle for him. No one could wrestle this match for him. This was an internal struggle, a personal struggle that he had to deal with. Now, let me kind of break these things down for you a little bit and tell you why I think these are so noteworthy and what God kind of began to impress on my heart here. First of all, I said that it's significant that this man wrestled with Jacob and not the other way around. That we have to realize that the Lord here, God was instigating this wrestling match. What's that telling us? And I just kind of began to think about that. Kind of get your head around it for a second. Think, well, why would God do that? What's God up to? What's he doing? Well, here it is, I think. I think God has pursued Jacob his entire life, and Jacob has run from God. But finally, the running has stopped. And God, out of love for Jacob, comes to him and grabs hold. And I love that picture. God instigated. I've said this before from the pulpit, and I think it's really true. Listen, you did not find God. He found you. Amen. And that's the truth. He instigated it. And that's interesting. And here's something I want you to understand. Listen, I don't know where you are with God right now. Maybe you and God are on the outs. I have a tendency to think that Jacob and God may have been on the outs. Okay? Maybe you're not where you were at one time, not as close as you were. Maybe you don't even know what to do with God. Can I just tell you this? I love that God pursues us. I love that God chases after us. I love that God's the one who's not going to let you go because he loves you, and he's going to keep searching for you and longing for you, and there's going to be a moment where he's going to catch you alone, and he's going to begin to wrestle. And listen, remember what we said a while ago from the quote that I said was going to come and inspire us? The thing about wrestling is victory comes when there's great love in it. Remember? Why did God wrestle with Jacob? Because he loved him that much. Jacob, you're a good man. I have plans for you. I will not allow you for the rest of your life to be a deceiver and a cheater and a trickster. But I've got plans for you. Plans to prosper you and make a great nation out of you that will bless many, many people in the future. So here it is, Jacob. I have pursued you your entire life, and you have ran, but the running stops now. I love that. Think about that. The man, God, instituted the wrestling match. I think that's interesting. James Montgomery Boyce, great theologian, he said this. Now just listen to this, because he's kind of given us a statement here about what's taking place here. And this is kind of another thing that got me thinking about, why did he instigate? Why did God instigate this wrestling match? James Montgomery Boyce says this: it is not that Jacob was seeking God so earnestly that when God, as it were, got close to him, he grappled with him and refused to let go until he blessed him. It is true that Jacob later begged for a blessing. But at the beginning, it was not Jacob who seeks God to wrestle with him. Rather, it is God who comes to wrestle with Jacob, to bring him to the point of both physical and spiritual submission. I like that. Think about that. God loves you so much, he will pursue you. And listen, this morning, if there's some wrestling going on inside, maybe toes stepped on, maybe feeling a little struggle, a little uncomfortable with something. I know sometimes we come to church and God begins to speak and we're just like, I can't wait to get out of here. Can I tell you what's going on? That's a wrestling match. That's wrestling. And God's beginning to speak and deal. And we should not run from that. What ought we ought to do? Well, Jacob gives us an example. We ought to cling to it. We ought to grab hold of it. God, I will wrestle with you, and I'm not going to let go until you bless me in this. And you find the answer, right? But you got to struggle. You got to wrestle. Now, here's the second thing I said that I thought was significant. So we got the first one, right? Why did God instigate this? Because he loved Jacob, and he wasn't going to let him go. So God instigated it. Second thing I said, it is very significant that at this point in Jacob's life, at this crossroads, he had to go it alone. He had to wrestle alone. It was personal for him to do. Now, think about that. No one can do your wrestling for you, not really. Your parents can't. Your mother and your father can't. Think about how you became a Christian. You don't become a Christian in groups, right? It's a personal commitment of your life to him. It's personal between you and the Lord. No one can make you become a Christian. Matter of fact, that should never happen. I know churches that manipulate people into following Christ. That never works. You can't manipulate people into that. It's a personal commitment of that life to God when they've come one-to-one faced with him, right? That's how. And if you're wrestling with something in your life, listen, we can want all of our friends and our family and everybody around us to fix it for us, but they can't. It's between you and him. You're going to have to wrestle with it. Maybe you've got some important decisions to make, some things you've been praying about that you're struggling with and really wrestling with, and there just doesn't seem to be an answer, and you want everybody else to fix it for you and come to an answer for you, and you're seeking everybody's advice except the one you ought to be grappling with, wrestling with, him. God holds the key. How did we sing it this morning? My God reigns. Let him reign in your life, right? He reigns. And so we have to recognize that, second of all, nobody could do this for Jacob. Jacob had to do it on his own. It had to be between him and God. So just jot this down. Listen, wrestling is personal. It's personal. It's between you and God. And just for a moment, I want you to think about that. It's as if you're sitting in this room full of other people around you or sitting at home this morning. And God loves you, and he pursues you, and he wants to speak directly to your heart and life. And it may make you uncomfortable. It may feel like a struggle. It may even make you restless, right? Oh, praise God that he wrestles with us. And here it is. Listen, it's personal between you and him. It's personal. I love that. Here's the second thing. You ready? Jot this one down. Not only is it personal, but it hurts. It's painful. You go, well, what are you saying? It's personal, and it's going to hurt, then I don't know if I want it, right? If you're like me, it's like, run the other direction from pain, right? I don't know what you think when you read this passage of Scripture, but I read this passage of Scripture, and I think there's an amazing thing that happens here. Notice it in verse 25. Here's what happens. So here we are, Jacob's alone, and a man comes and wrestles with him in verse 25. And when the man, that would be God, saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Now, literally, that word translated there as wrench means broken. But some translate it as set out of a joint. I think it was set out of joint, broken, okay? Anybody ever had a broken bone before? Did you, how'd you handle that? Or even a broken hip? Okay, here's the first thing you want to do if somebody breaks a hip is you want to keep them from going into shock, right? From shutting down, passing out, right? I mean, that's the first thing. Broken bones are painful. Now, can you imagine a wrestling match and your bone is broken in the midst? How do you keep going? I'm amazed at that in this passage of Scripture. How do you keep going? How do you continue to move forward? God touches Jacob's hip and literally broke it, set it out of joint. And my first reaction is, ow, right? Like, I don't know how Jacob continued to do this. It's an amazing thing when you think about that. It's a graphic picture for us if you really want to think about it. Here's this wrestling match going on, and literally in chapter 32, it's pictured as a literal physical wrestling match. This man shows up in the dark, wrestles with Jacob. Jacob's hip gets broken, and Jacob just keeps on going. Not without a little pain, I'm pretty sure. You get the picture in this passage of Scripture that he can't wrestle anymore, so what does he start doing? Just holding on for dear life. Will not let go. That's probably all he could do at this point in his life. Here is this wrestling match, and something set out of joint and broken, and I just began to pray, God, what's the message in that? And God simply said that wrestling with me hurts, that I'm going to step on your toes, that my ways are not your ways. There will be brokenness. There will be pain. God will confront us right where. Listen, other people may make nice and overlook the things in our life, but here's what God will do. He'll get honest with you. He'll get honest. I mean, you can't run and you can't hide from that. When God puts his finger on our life, you can try to make excuses. You can try to run from it. You can try to hide. Listen, Jacob, all of his life up until this point, had tried to run from the deceit and the trickery. And now what's he doing but running? He's running away from Laban and how he cheated him. He's running right into a trap with Esau, he thinks, who wants to take his life. He's run and he's run and he's running. He's finally run out of places to go. And now he's a broken man. Broken. And can I tell you that that's the exact point when we get honest before God, even if it's painful, when we allow him to break us, that God can begin to do something in our life.
That's the point. A.W. Pink, another great theologian, he gives us this perspective on what's going on here. Listen to this. I think this is great. He says this: Jacob was not wrestling with this man to obtain a blessing. Instead, the man was wrestling with Jacob to gain some object from him. As to what this object is, the best of commentators agree. It was to reduce Jacob to a sense of his nothingness, to cause him to see what a poor, helpless, worthless creature he was. It was to teach us through him that all-important lesson that in recognized weakness lies our strength. Now, I want you just to think about that for a second. Just leave it up there for a minute, Sarah, if you would, and let's think about that statement for a minute. Think about what A.W. Pink is telling us, great theologian. Kind of just look at the very last part of that. It was to teach us through him that all-important lesson that in recognized weakness lies our strength. Here's the picture that I get in this passage of Scripture. For the first time in his life, Jacob quit running and quit wrestling and started just holding on. Why? Because he came to the end of himself. Think about how every man, woman, boy, and girl comes to Christ. You have to come to the end of yourself and recognize that you cannot save yourself, be broken by your sin, and confess your sin to him. And then what does he do? Forgives you and saves you. But when does that happen? When you come to the end of yourself. And I don't know what you're struggling with right now, but I can tell you that 9 times out of 10, it's too much for you to handle, right? Most of it overwhelms us. If you're struggling with the things going on in our world right now and it's about to overcome you, I got to tell you something. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. This pandemic, the coronavirus, all the stuff going on around us, listen, you can fight, you can struggle, and you will literally make yourself miserable trying to. All the political unrest that's going on right now, you wade into that if you want to, but here's what I'll tell you. It will make you unhinged and miserable. It will. But if you stop wrestling and start trusting, holding on to him, broken by what's happening in our world today, but say, God, you reign, you are in control, and I trust you. I want to tell you that a peace will invade you. It will. You'll find something. But listen, we've got to get to the place where we say, I can't, but God can. I can't. We've got to get to a place to where our weakness becomes our greatest strength. You remember that great little quote, that saying that we have sometimes from the sports world that says, no pain, no gain. You got it? No pain, no gain. You know what? That's really true. It's really true. That without the brokenness, without the pain, there's no real gain for you spiritually. John Bloom says this: there are times when God only releases his blessing on us after a season of prolonged and even painful wrestling with him. Are you wrestling with God today? Listen, I believe that when we get to the end of ourselves, we find the answer. And can I just tell you, I think that's replete in Scripture. It's all through Scripture. I mean, picture some of this, if you would. We get it in Jacob here. When did the blessing come? The blessing came after the brokenness, right? Think about the life of Joseph, the other patriarch, right? Think about all the brokenness in his life, the brokenness of being sold into slavery by his brothers, then being falsely accused, right, and thrown into a prison, forgotten about. All of that brokenness, what did it yield? Salvation for God's people through Joseph. Wow. Think about David, becomes a great king, falls drastically into sin, commits adultery with Bathsheba, and if that wasn't bad enough, has her husband killed. Now he's committed adultery and murder. But David became a man after God's own heart. After that, read Psalm 51 sometime, and you'll find brokenness. Brokenness after blessing. Or what about the life of Job? That's a hard book to read, isn't it? The brokenness of Job. And when you get to the end of the book of Job, after the brokenness, his blessings are doubled at the end. And what about our Lord? Broken body and poured out blood, gave his life for us, and after his brokenness came your blessing, yours and mine. After brokenness comes the blessing. So here we are. Here's the third point. You ready? Wrestling's personal. Wrestling's painful. Ouch. Right? Brokenness. Third, wrestling with God is productive. It will accomplish something. God has a purpose in it, and something good's going to come from it. I believe that wrestling with God is very valuable. that God does amazing things in us and through it, if we will enter into that wrestling match with God, if we'll begin to really let him deal with us right where we are, it may be uncomfortable, it may be painful, it may set us out of joint, right? It may confront some things in our life we never wanted to hear. But listen, if we'll get honest with God as we begin to wrestle to him, listen, God can do some amazing things in our life. Whatever we're wrestling with, he can. And in this passage, it's no different. Notice what happens in verses 26 through 30 again. Look at your Bible there. Here it is. I'm going to read this time from the NIV, okay, just to kind of change it up a little bit. Here we go. This is what happens, verses 26 through 30. Then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. Now, here's something I want you to know. Who's he wrestling with? Do you think God couldn't get free if he wanted to? Oh, yeah. Right. If God wanted to get free, he could. And if God didn't want to deal with you, he doesn't have to. It's because of great love, right? It's because of great love. So there it is. Then this man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob said, I'm through wrestling. I'm through running. I'm through hiding. God, I want you to do something in my life. Change me. That's powerful. Verse 27, the man, God asks him, what's your name? Do you think God didn't know his name? God knew his name. What did he want? He wanted Jacob to admit it. Admit it. He had to say the name Jacob. What does Jacob mean? God, I've been a deceiver my whole life. I've been a trickster my whole life. I've been a cheater my whole life. I've cheated the man behind me. I've cheated the man in front of me. And I've cheated you. He made him admit it, right? That's powerful. That'll preach, by the way. Verse 28. Then the man said, your name will no longer be cheater, deceiver, trickster, Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and you have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. I think Jacob really didn't know who he's wrestling with, or did he? All right? But he replied, why do you ask my name? Implied in that statement is a very interesting kind of idiom in the Hebrew. It implies that Jacob knew who he was wrestling with, and God knew that he knew who he was wrestling with, right? But Jacob wanted him to say it, just like God wanted Jacob to say his name, all right? So here's verse 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. It's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. I've come face to face with my God, and here it is. It changed my life, literally. I love that. What just happened there? Jacob just proved my point. Wrestling with God can accomplish great things in your life. Getting honest with God will always have valuable outcome for you in your walk. J.D. Greer says this, at the end of this wrestling match, God asked Jacob for his name. He already knows his name, but God wants Jacob to admit it, just like I said a minute ago. When Jacob had stolen the blessing, his daddy asked for his name, and Jacob lied and said, my name is Esau. Well, but now he tells the truth. My name is Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I've tried all my life to obtain these blessings for myself by my own manipulations. Now I am repenting. So God gives him a new name, Israel, which speaks of God giving the blessing, not Jacob wrestling for it himself. The blessing, this is for you and I, the blessing that you are searching for is not going to come from more striving or deceiving. It comes by submitting. Winning the blessing only comes by losing to God. I love that statement. I think it's true. There's a point at which we quit striving with God and start hanging on to him. Start clinging to him as our only hope. As we recognize he is my hope. He is my future. He is the answer. And I'm going to tell you that, listen, wrestling becomes productive. Listen to me. When you stop wrestling and start hanging on to God. When you stop fighting God and let go and start hanging on to him. I love stories about one of the greatest magicians who ever lived, Houdini. Houdini could get out of anything, they say. He could escape from any prison within just a matter of minutes. You could lock him in a straitjacket and put padlocks in it, and he would miraculously, magically, it seemed like, always be at it. He was an escape artist deluxe. But there was one particular jail a small jail cell in the British Isles that Houdini couldn't get out of. The story goes like this. He was placed inside of the jail, and the jail door was locked, and he began to work at that cell door lock. And he worked at it for more than 2 hours at terrific speed. What usually would have taken Houdini only a matter of seconds or minutes to get out of, he could not get out of that lock. He couldn't get it to spring. In total frustration, he finally grabbed hold of the door and began to shake it, and it fell open. It had never been locked. They tricked him. When I read that, I thought, you know, that's the truth for you and I. Most of what we wrestle with, we need to just quit wrestling and hang on. Hang on to him. Grab hold of God. Stop your struggling. Stop your wrestling with God and begin to hold on to him. I don't know what you're wrestling with today, personally. Maybe you've never trusted your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're wrestling with him over that. Just turning your life over to him. I can tell you that you will find an abundant, full, meaningful life if you'll quit wrestling and just trust your life to him. Just trust it into his hands. Or maybe you're here today and as a Christian, there's some things you're struggling with, some things you're wrestling with. Maybe there's some things deep inside of your life that no one else knows anything about that you're struggling with, but you're struggling with it. And you've tried to find victory over it many times, and I'm going to tell you that you'll never find victory until you stop struggling and start clinging to him. He's the answer. Maybe you're struggling or wrestling today with some important decisions and you've tried to seek the advice of all of your best friends and your families and books and everything else that you know. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to find the answer when you quit wrestling and start clinging to him and trust it into his hands. Let him provide the answer. You see, here it is, right? It's personal. It's personal. And it may not be the most pleasant thing in the world. It may require some brokenness. Lots of tears and heartache and pain, right? But oh, how valuable when we cling to him in it. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know what God might have said in your heart today. But here's what we're going to do in our time of response. We're just going to allow an opportunity for you to wrestle with God for a minute. Maybe you need to come to this altar and wrestle with him right here at this altar. I'm going to be here at the front in just a minute after I pray, and maybe you want to pray with me. Maybe you and I together, we can pray and we can put some things in the hands of God and say, God, we're tired of wrestling. We want to just cling to you and we commit to him. Maybe you've trusted Jesus right back there where you sit. You've asked him in. Listen, you don't have to be up here in the front to do that. You can do it right where you are. But I would be so blessed if you'd come and tell me that that happened. I will rejoice with you in that. I'll celebrate with you in that. Maybe I can share with you some things, some next steps for you, some things you may need to do next. Maybe you're here today as a Christian, and listen, you've been wrestling with some things in your personal life, and you just need to find your way to your knees and make that seat or that pew your altar today, and you just need to stop wrestling and start clinging. It needs to begin today. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to begin to sing this beautiful song. It's a declaration that he is Lord. He is Lord. That's a declaration. God, I'm going to stop wrestling with you. I'm going to let you be Lord, Lord of my life. So this morning, as we sing this song to the Lord, as we wrestle before him, if God's spoken to your heart and you need to respond in some way, it's open for you. It's open. The way is open for you. To stop wrestling and start clinging. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We pray this morning, Father, that God, you would take your word, simply talking about wrestling. We wrestle. God, you know us. I thank you that you're a God who loves us and pursues us and found us. God, I thank you that you love us enough to wrestle with us, even when we're in the wrong. God, we recognize that this morning in this place, some of us need to come to the end of ourselves and that and be broken over our sin. And we need to stop wrestling and start clinging. And I thank you, Father, for the promise in that. Promise of a new name. God, for those in this place this morning that may need to respond to you in some way, I pray this morning, Father, you'd wrestle with us in this place. You'd bring the victory. And God, if there's one here that needs to come, give them the courage to step out by faith and respond to you. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing our hymn of invitation, our hymn of response? Sing it as unto the Lord, as a worship song, declaring that He is Lord. And if you need to come, you come as we sing.